Hello and welcome to Newsmakers. I'm your host, Lisa Pugh. On the eve of Wisconsin's February primary, we are sitting down with two state legislators who want to radically change the way Wisconsin elects U.S. Senate and congressional candidates. They want to get rid of Wisconsin's partisan primary and then allow voters to rank their final top five candidates, ensuring that the candidate with the widest voter appeal wins. Here to tell us why they want Wisconsin to be among the first states that approves final five voting is Republican Senator Dale Koyinga and Democratic Senator Jeff Smith. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
All right. Well, starting out with the most basic of questions, Senator Koyinga, how does final five voting work? What is it?
Yeah, so essentially, you kind of got to start with the problem. The problem we have right now is not a lot of voters, very, very few voters, show up and vote in a party's primary. And what happens is that when you have such a small number of voters in those primaries, and you have usually a good amount of candidates, and you have districts that are one extreme or the other, what's happening is we're getting members of Congress in particular that are really representing not a majority of the districts. And, you know, if you look at parts of Milwaukee, there you have some folks or other cities like that very far to the left, and you have other places that are very far to the right. Essentially, it's not even about necessarily the type of people we're electing, but it's about changing behavior and allowing people to have elected officials that are more accountable to the whole electorate as opposed to a small number of voters in a primary. So it's a fairly simple process, is that the first historical primary, you're going to choose your candidates, and the top five candidates as selected by the electorate would go on to the November election. And there you could say who's your favorite, who's your least favorite, or who's in between. And based on that, that's who would represent your folks. So if you're a Democrat in Lake Country, in a very, very conservative congressional district, then you're going to have some say as far as who your congressperson is. And if you're a Republican, Milwaukee or Dane County, you're also going to have a say who your congressperson is, because you're going to want a more moderate Democrat, right, or a more moderate Republican. So essentially, I think it just holds accountability for elected officials and changes up a process that's creating a product that Americans aren't happy with.
Thanks for that explainer. We do have a short video clip from the Democracy Found organization that kind of outlines a little bit about how it actually would work. So we'll roll that clip.
Here's how it works. With top five primaries, all candidates are listed on the same primary ballot. The top five vote getters, regardless of their partisan affiliations, advance to the general election. The general election is where ranked choice voting comes into play. The five candidates who won the primary election are listed on a general election ballot. Voters can then rank each of those five candidates in order of preference. The candidate who achieves the majority of votes, over 50%, is the winner. Unlike our current system where candidates can win the election without having the majority of the votes, if no one gets a majority, the candidate with the fewest votes is eliminated. Voters who selected that candidate as their first choice now have their second choice counted. This process of elimination and counting the next best candidate continues until one person achieves more than 50% of the total votes, resulting in the candidate with the broadest appeal winning the election.
Senator Smith, you have said that this change to the election process would improve the tone of how politicians work together, maybe even cause them to drop some of their negative campaign ads. I'm sure people would be happy about that. What do you see as the other big benefits to us?
Yeah, those are good benefits right there. And Senator Koyinga already touched on, I think, on some benefits. One would be eliminating the partisan primary and everyone votes one on one slate and picks their top candidate. So the top five move on. But I think it also opens up the possibility of people who want to run for office and otherwise under today's circumstances choose not to. And because it's what's the use, right? And the same with voters. I think voters are more apt to turn out if they feel like their voice is going to be heard and they have choices. And they don't have to feel as though they are voting for, as we hear too often, the best of two evils, you know, or whatever they want to. And I would disagree with that anyway. But the fact is, people really have those negative feelings about elections these days. And I think it really changes the perspective that people would have both as possible candidates and as voters. And we're going to have a lot more voices out there if we were to give them this opportunity.
So we have a sample Wisconsin ballot. I think you've both seen this presented in the recent committee hearing. The first ballot we're going to look at is a sample, a fictional example from a primary election. If we were choosing our favorite sports team here in Wisconsin. So you see a nonpartisan primary election, like Senator Smith and Senator Cuyanga just said, shows a variety of teams. These teams aren't affiliated with a party. And on this ballot, there are 10 choices. As a result of this example primary election, so the top five vote getters would then move on to that general election, right? So then if we move to the general election ballot sample, you would see that the top five vote getters from that primary then are the ones that are listed on the general election ballot. So we see that in this example, the Admirals, the Brewers, the Bucks, the Packers, and the Madison Forward moved on to that general election. They got the most votes of the 10. And here you see a grid style ballot where voters would be given the option if they wanted to pick their second, third, fourth, and last place candidates. And from there, the first choice votes are tallied just like they are now. And if any one candidate reaches 50% of the vote, just like today, that candidate, or in this case, the team, is the automatic winner. But if no one has a majority, then there's an instant runoff, is the way that I understand it. And that last place candidate is eliminated. And then the first choice vote of that last place candidate is then moved and transferred to the voter's second choice. So Senator Cuyanga, the main criticism of this process is that some people think it's complicated, that it might be complicated for voters to use. How do you respond to that?
Well, if you look in other states and you ask people, particularly in Colorado, the reaction after people do it is that it's not overly complex and they get it. It's different, but once again, if you think Congress is operational, then let's just keep things the way they are. But the fact is that we, nearly all of us, agree that Congress is non-operational, and we have significant national problems, especially on the debt side, that are like a runaway train. And that's just one of the problems. So we need to change the process. We need to change the behavior. You know, real quickly on your example is, I personally tend to be more libertarian, but I, with very rare exception, don't vote libertarian, because I'm afraid that when I vote libertarian, that my vote will not be for the Republican, and therefore I'm going to put the Democrat in office. And my preference is to have a Republican over a Democrat. So the example you just gave, to put it real simply, in my case, is as someone who on occasion finds the Libertarian Party maybe more attractive, or the Libertarian candidate more attractive, is I could vote Libertarian, and then it's not a wasted vote, because what's going to happen is when that Libertarian doesn't have enough votes, it's going to defer to the Republican. So, you know, I hear all the time, you know, will we ever look beyond a two-party system? Will there ever be an opportunity? And this is a system where we can provide more diversity in conversation and thoughts in a buffet without the old, like, I think it's great if the Democrats create a third party. I would love the Democrats to split into and have a socialist party and Democrat party. You guys go have at it, right? So we'll never get there under the current system. This is, and I'm very, very proud of the Republican Party too. I'm a staunch Republican. I've always been Republican, but I think I also like some of the libertarian things. So this is on an election by election, candidate by candidate basis. You could see circumstances where you could allow your voice to be heard better by having this sort of system that gives more flexibility and power to our voters.
And I would add, just because I want to be sure there's some balance here, that to be able to vote Green Party would certainly be an option for the exact same reason that Dale just explained. And I think it's really important. I think that is why it's so important that we get the opportunity so people feel like they can vote the way they can. As we know, there's so much concern from the 2000 presidential election that voting for the Green Party candidate through the election, and you know, we could argue that all day long whether that could be true or not, but it certainly was the impression, and people from then on didn't want to vote for who they really actually believed in, whether it be Libertarian or whether it be Green Party. And I think this is important. And to answer your question, Lisa, it's more complicated and harder to explain than it is to actually do. Once people see it on paper and they go, oh yeah, I can rate these 1 through 5 when they get to the general election, or I can vote for one person in the primary just like I do now. So it is not complicated when they actually are faced with it on the ballot.
So,
and we can both go back and forth on our examples as far as, you know, one of the reasons I'm doing this is I think this is more consistent with my values and principles as far as a democracy. But I will also, and maybe Jeff could talk about from the Democrat side, but on the Republican side, I think of Alabama with Roy Moore. If people recall, Roy Moore was a very radical candidate that was really far out there. And so Republicans lost the state of Alabama because the candidate that got through a primary system was not palatable to the larger Republican state because he was so radical. And, you know, when you have processes like this, you're less likely to get candidates that are not as toxic to the general population. A good example of that, in the Virginia race on the Republican primary side, they actually have a system similar to this that pushes out the Republican candidate, which gave Virginia Republicans the Youngkin candidate, which ended up being a Republican that was able to appeal to a state that has been voting more blue. And I think Jeff could probably give examples on his side where Democrats put up a candidate that was not palatable to the general population in that state, and similar circumstances happen.
So who's in opposition to this? I would imagine that in the way our current partisan primary system works, there are specific interest groups that have some unwieldy influence in that process. Are there going to be certain groups that think this is not a good change for them to get their candidate moved through the process?
Change is always hard, Lisa. Change is always hard to get across. But I will suggest that in the hearing, for instance, there were 72 registrations for this change and 0 against. We did not even have testimony opposed to this. But yet we know, of course, that the parties will have their heartburn about this change because, let's face it, I'm a Democrat and I am true blue Democrat, just as Dale is a true blue Republican. And we do trust our parties, but at the same time, the voters have their angst about the parties having control. And I think that we have to be able to let go a little bit and be able to and get over that power that the parties want to have over their candidates, and believe that our what we stand for, both Dale and his Republican views and me with my Democratic views, believe in those views and they will come through in the end, and trust that system, because that's what democracy is about. The voters should be able to be choosing that in the end.
I think Jeff meant to say I'm a true red Republican, not a true blue Republican. that's what I am. To summarize who's against it, the people who are against it is the political industrial complex. There's politics has become an industry of itself, and people in that industry like the system the way it is because it serves their industry. It serves their interest. But the problem is the political industrial industry is not working for America. And most Americans are in increasing numbers being disengaged with the political process because they don't like the product. They don't like the process. And so the consequences are too high, whether it be national defense or education or transportation, to have more and more Americans check out that process. So, you know, who hates it? The people in the political industrial complex, but willing to take them on. And that's why we're here.
I'm so glad to hear you say that, Dale. We can have more conversation about the political industrial complex because I use those words all the time.
That sounds like another show. But let's celebrate kind of what's happening here. I mean, this is a bipartisan conversation that we're having today. And let's face it, there's not a lot of that happening in the state capitol right now, particularly on elections issues. Why did you two decide to work together on this particular elections change? And I know there are other Republicans and Democrats that are signed on to this change. Why is this? Why are you finding bipartisan agreement on this?
It's a good idea. That's the first thing to say about it. I think it's a good idea. It is clearly not a partisan idea. Just from the mechanism of the process here. So it shouldn't be that difficult for us to agree that this can work for either or both parties. And most importantly, it works for the voters.
Yeah, I think a notable, 10% of our population right now are veterans, generally speaking. But on the bill, the four of us that came out with this, 75% of us are veterans. So the other authors of this bill represent Daniel Raymer, who is a member of the United States Army Reserve, and also represent Tony Kurtz, who's a retired active duty member. And the reason I mention this is this, is that I think that the country was more functional from a political standpoint back after World War II, when it was very clear that there's different opinions within a political sphere, but in the larger sense of what we fight for and why we fight for it, we have a lot more in common than we have different. And that's where I feel is that with the group of people we have working together on this, is that we see that we have very, very different opinions on things. And those opinions and those policy differences are not insignificant, they are significant. But underneath the umbrella of that debate is a larger vision as far as who we are, where we came from, where we're at, and where we're going. And if you wanna hear more on that part of the argument, there's an organization out there called Veterans for Political Innovation who have been a big part of the support for this. But I also think that's why this is gonna be citizen legislators fighting a system as opposed to one party fighting for a change in the rules.
So how is this issue different than other elections issues and legislation moving through the Capitol right now? Because there is a lot of elections conversation in the Capitol right now.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, Jeff.
Really good question. Go ahead, Dale.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is where you'd see Jeff and I have very, very different opinions on the legislation that's out there and the need for it. And so we won't get into that. That's once again another show. But how is it different? I mean, what I would say is that, and Jeff, of course, will react to this, but there's a lot of people right now that no matter what the merits are, the changes being proposed in legislation, there's criticism of changing the rules and changing the laws related to elections. And to me, what I like to point out is that every single session we change tax law, every single session we do something on transportation law or criminal law, there's very few portions of state statutes that we don't continuously change on a periodic basis or on a recurring basis in order to update to technology, different external internal threats, best practices, public input. And so this is what I see as part of a process that we should always be undergoing as far as examining our statutes related to the laws in this area and asking the question, do they make sense? And right now, I think there's a lot of parts of those laws that simply don't make sense and need to be changed.
And I think it's apples to oranges. The legislation we're seeing going through the legislature right now are not even touching what we're talking about today as far as how do we encourage voters, how do we encourage candidates, and how do we maybe change the rhetoric during campaigns. And going back to what you said first, that I've said many times, is I think it changes the way candidates talk. You've got to be very careful. You do want to appeal to all voters, and that brings us back to more of a pragmatic and middle ground kind of conversation, and without having to abandon your values. And so I think it's far, sometimes it's even deeper than what was happening right now in the legislature. And it's not about counting votes or how clerks work or how, you know, that sort of thing. This is really more grassroots. How is it that people are able to maybe feel more confident about their vote going towards the candidates that they really care about?
You touched on this a little bit earlier, that recent polling in Wisconsin shows significant disapproval with the job that Congress is doing. I think the most recent Marquette Law School poll, 71% disapproving, 28% approving. The Gallup poll in January, Americans approval rating, 18%, lowest in over a year. Would a switch to Final Five voting in Wisconsin actually change that, change our feelings about how Congress is working, do you think, Senator Coyenga?
Well, I will point out that, and I'm proud that it sounds like our congressional delegation has higher approval ratings on average than the nationwide numbers, but they're still pretty low. And it comes back to the dichotomy that people love their congressman. I think most people are pretty happy with Mark Buchanan in Madison because that's their politics. I know people are really happy with, you know, Scott Fitzgerald or Mike Gallagher or whoever they represent. So it's just, you know, you name the name, you have the election, then you have, you know, the general Congress number. But yeah, no, I think it would. And I think it would, once again, I actually would predict that under the system, you would have probably the exact same congressional delegation, assuming that they were all running for reelection. But once again, it changes the incentives of that congressional delegation as opposed to trying to say, oh, we want to change the people. And so changing the people is one conversation, but changing the process and the incentives of what drives those elected officials is what's worth changing. And quite frankly, as some people have said, I mean, you could be mad at congressmen all day long, but congressmen are doing what they think is in their best interest to be reelected under the current system. And so this would be a way to change that.
And that's the most important thing about this. That is exactly right. So if you change the system the way we are proposing, it goes beyond the campaign. Then once elected, there's going to be a lot more willingness and opportunity to actually maybe get back to the table, work together, and actually accomplish things. And I think that changes the opinion that people have about Congress. It's about accomplishing things and getting things passed and through on a bipartisan basis. I think that's going to change those polling. That's the only way you're going to change that kind of polling.
Senator Smith, what's the danger in that ongoing congressional gridlock if we don't see more civil dialogue and cooperation? Is there real danger to that will impact us back here in Wisconsin?
I do think it's very dangerous. I think currently we're really at a tipping point. As far as whether or not, how do I want to say this, is that the rhetoric out there, and it comes from both sides. We know that, especially during campaign. But everything right now, by the way, is always related to the campaign. What's the campaign next? You got to set up the messaging. You got to set up how are we going to attack the other side, and we just can't keep attacking each other, because in the end we're attacking the American public. In the end, we're attacking a policy that is good for the nation and good for the state, and holding it up. Things are not getting done for the best interest of the public, simply because the best interest right now is simply how to maintain power in the office that we have and holding that power. And that is not good for democracy. It's not good for this country, and it can't last.
Senator Coyenga, you mentioned that this type of voting reform is working now in various states and communities, perhaps not on the scale that's being proposed in Wisconsin with Final Five voting. Alaska will actually be the first to really implement something very similar to what's being proposed in the bill that you both support. They'll be doing Final Four voting in their August primary and then their fall general election, actually using it for both their U.S. Senate, U.S. congressional race, their lieutenant governor, some state legislative seats. What will you be watching for in Alaska this year that might apply to what we talk about in Wisconsin?
Yeah, I mean, I think probably similar to what we just spoke about is how that changes the behavior. I mean, it's the election's coming up, but what would be interesting is, has this changed the behavior of the current delegation from Alaska who's running for election because they know this is coming up? And so I suspect that that's already changed behavior there, but it'll be interesting to see. Yeah, there's some criticism on this from an administrative standpoint. Oh, it's so complicated. We're not going to know who the winner is for so long. And so what I think will be important is there faith and integrity in that election? What is the feedback from the Alaskan population on that? And what can we learn from that? And quite frankly, if that ends up being messy and it drags on for days and it's the source of the balance of tipping power in Congress, this is not going to fly and it's not going to work. If it's not that, it ends up being just like any other election with clear results and worked well, then I think we have something more to talk about. So, but I'm willing to bet that it's going to go well. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. And I will add that in today's world, all of the machines that are used to count are already set up to be able to accommodate this. So I agree. I think it's going to go smoothly. And the only question would be whether or not people like the results. I think Dale's probably right that the results will probably be the same in the end, but it's going to change the way it's approached.
Some have said in Alaska that this change to their final four voting might actually help Senator Lisa Murkowski, who is kind of known as a moderate, has recently been facing some more extreme challenges in her primaries. You have both said that this system does not require politicians to abandon their ideological views. What do you mean by that, Senator Koyanga?
Well, I don't think it, I mean, unless your ideology is really strange, you know, which I think is more of a general election challenge in the first place, is it allows you actually to be more consistent with your views and not be afraid of a very, very low turnout election between you and getting back in office. And right now, the first election that you appear before when you're in office is that primary. And once again, that's a low turnout election with a very, very charged base. And so that's the one that drives your behavior. And then you deal with the general election if you have that, on the back end of that. So, once again, I don't think it drastically changes behavior. I think it, because of the weighting down system, I think it's more likely that you're not going to act uncivilly and, be performative. Right now, so many of our Congress people are performative. They're almost actors on a stage than they are statesmen, policymakers. And I really believe that this system and the way it rewards the adults in the room are going to encourage more statesmen and policymakers as opposed to actors on a stage.
Senator Smith, you were recently elected to the Senate after leaving the Assembly in 2011. And I think as I've seen you comment on your support for this change, you've said you've really seen politics change during that time when you left the Assembly. How do things look different in the legislature now?
Well, I think as Dale has mentioned, a very low turnout in primaries really does drive politics. And oftentimes, because of that fact, you are driven, pushed towards the limits of your party because those are the most engaged group that is going to show up in the primary. And if you get through that, but it's hard to back out and get back to where you might really want to be. And when we talk about the values or ideals at which you hold dear to yourself, it's hard to go back to that after you've been through that system. So, and I think that has happened in this state that we're in right now, the state of Wisconsin. When I was here before, it was much easier to build relationships with people of, I can't build relationships right now because of the pandemic most of the time, really, to tell you the truth. But before that, even that, we were able to see up in the hallways, across the street, in the restaurant or in the bar before we head back to our apartments or wherever it was, a cooling hour, you know, and talk about our family and things like that. That doesn't even happen anymore in Madison like it used to when I was here before. And it's unfortunate. And I think that if we don't have that terrible rhetoric attacking during the campaigns, it's going to be a lot easier to come back and talk to each other when we are actually in the building and even outside the building and treat each other with more respect and realize that we're all in this together and want the same end results.
The bill that would bring Final Five voting to Wisconsin, I believe it's SB 250 in this session, had a hearing in the Senate Committee on Elections last December. What's next? How did that hearing go, Senator Koyanga? What's next for it?
I think the hearing went well, and I'm grateful for Senator Bernier giving us a hearing. It does not have the support to move forward at this point, and we anticipated that we were going to have a rough go of it with such a radical big idea. So very grateful for Senator Bernier who gave us that hearing, and we're going to continue to educate people and talk about this. Appreciate you guys doing this story, and we'll be back at it next session to continue the conversation.
Final words, Senator Smith, what are your hopes?
My hopes are the same. We knew that this is a step-by-step system, politics, and you introduce a big idea like this. And again, I am also very grateful that we got a hearing this session, because it moves us closer. So the next session, hopefully we get a vote on this, and we can move closer and get a hearing in both houses. That would really be great. So we've got our sights set high. I think what we see happen in Alaska and other places will also move us forward.
Well, we will for sure be watching. I want to thank both of you for the conversation today.
Thank you.
And thank you to the viewers of Newsmakers. Be sure to tune in again as we highlight the issues and sit down with the decision makers who make a difference for all of us.
This program is a production of Wisconsin Eye, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civics broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol.